Blog Talk Radio.
What do you know? What do you know? What do you know?
The birds and the bees are wise to the light.
What do you know?
So they took to the trees and took to the sky.
What do you know?
On top of the chain and safe from the rain.
What do you know?
What you know about the ways of the underside?
What do you know?
Bought a hot shot bet for my North and Guinea.
What do you know?
Cause they're hip to the pool and hip to the light.
What do you know?
And a hip with the ass cause you ain't got a penny.
What do you know?
What you know about the ways on the underside?
What do you know?
One hot shot cat from a North Bank Guinea.
What do you know?
Ain't it up with your ass cause you ain't got a penny.
What do you know?
Starting bombs from above cause you're all damn skies.
What do you know?
Cause the hip to the ball and the hip to the
what do you know?
Yeah, the streets rose in two perfect ways in the night.
What do you know?
One crashes on my left and one on my right. It's all fire and brimstone, baby, so let's go outside.
What do you
it's
know?
It's all fire and brimstone, baby. I got my brand new pistol, baby.
What do you know?
What a hot shot cat from a North Bay Guinea.
Every week, Darby. You know, that's the only time I actually listen to that song is when it's playing on the intro. Did you know that?
No.
Okay. Well, now you do. Today you learn.
No, I do.
Today you learn. Hang on, let me turn my volume up. It's weird. Hold on. I can't hear you very well. Can you hear me okay? Is that fine?
I can,
okay?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on just a second. Let me... Hold on. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. God damn it. It's always something. It's always something, Darb.
Of course.
Like, I can hear you just fine. That's not really the problem. I just... Like, I'm just trying to figure out how to make you a little bit louder. Okay, well, whatever. Anyway. Hello, and welcome to Logicast. Logicast is a weekly podcast. We discuss topics like politics, religion, science, skepticism, history, and economics. I'm Jared Smith. My wonderful intelligence, brilliance co-host is one Darby Macy. That's not your middle name, is it?
No.
That actually would have been great if your mom had named you sort of Darby Derby Macy, right? Like, because that would not have been the source of sort of bullying when you were, when you were kind of a kid. I mean,
I actually got named after the wife of the OB that delivered me.
You got named after the wife of the OB that delivered you.
Yes.
We could spend an entire show talking about that. Well, fuck, now I'm going to put that in my notes, because if we ever run out of content, then I know exactly where we need to go. You know what the first conversation should be. So tonight we're going to be discussing Christianity and free will. Namely, we're going to explain the argument often touted by Christians and apologists that we have this sort of weird zero-sum choice that's not just illogical, but also internally contradictory. I'm going to talk about modern concepts of free will and how they relate to reality. Darby's going to roll her eyes, and then we're going to get to this weekend dump. So that's pretty much the show. So, okay.
Sounds like
fun. All right. I want to save the Caitlyn Jenner thing because that's what I'm going to spend this weekend dumb talking about. So, but before we get to the sort of crux of, you know, of tonight, come on, there's something that pissed you off this week. I got to hear it. Like, I got to hear it.
Well, there's a whole array of them. I think probably the thing that pissed me off the most was the battery of mostly pastors who are part of the school of thinking that little children are at fault for being sexually molested because of how they dress or how they behave. You know, if they run around in their swimsuits outside or if, you know, their towel isn't completely on when they come out of the bathroom. And one of them, whose name I've mercifully forgotten, said that pretty much everybody would molest children if we didn't think we'd get caught.
What?
So that yeah.
No, who said this? No, come on.
No, I will look it up. I'll look it up.
No, really?
Please continue. Well, really, yeah. I'm not kidding.
No, please, no. Darby,
yeah.
Someone really
Sorry.
Said this?
Yeah.
I mean, it originates from the right. Like, there are very few things that people on that end of the spectrum say that I'm ever surprised about.
Yeah, I've been surprised about this. You know,
that's fucking crazy.
The pedophiles.
Really?
That one,
like,
yeah.
Little bitty kids who are like that.
Yeah.
Like, no. Really? I can't believe this. Like, I literally didn't think that there would be anything someone could tell me that a person or a member of the far right said that would. That would cause me to go, what in the actual fuck? But I'm literally
yeah.
sitting here thinking, what in the actual fuck? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I got
yeah,
told?
Yeah, I'll see if I can find this guy.
I got told this today.
Go ahead.
I actually got told that, hang on. Oh, I got to read this shit to you. I was so fucking amazed. Someone told me that imagine we were talking about women in combat, and it said, imagine being the only female on a combat outpost with 50 some odd horny guys. Like, what he was basically trying to say was, yeah, well, he said, imagine being the only female on a combat outpost with 50 some odd horny guys. Like, what he was trying to say is, this is the reason why women should not serve in infantry.
This is some guy who said that women are physically and mentally incapable.
Mentally, yes,
I saw
incapable.
That.
Mm-hmm. Yes, incapable.
Yeah, I saw that.
And, like, that's so fucking crazy to me. I mean, he's basically saying that, you know, we shouldn't allow this because men can't fucking control themselves. It's like, take that up with the fucking men then. And by the way, if you believe this about the majority of the armed service of men who are in the armed services, then that's a problem with the men who are in the armed services. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? You know,
it's a really good question.
How does someone put that into their brain and then think that that is a reasonable thing to say, and in the same hand try to argue that that's the reason why women shouldn't be in combat, because apparently the men we're sending to kill other people do not possess the foresight to, you know, I don't know, or the morality, or, you know, the inherent, you know, empathy to not fucking sexually assault other soldiers who happen to be women. Like, that is insane
yep.
to me. That whole concept is so foreign to me. I that's incredible. Speaking of which, can we talk about the Josh Duggar thing? Did you see the Duggar interview last night?
No, I did not.
Holy fuck, dude. You want to talk about a train wreck. I mean, there have been train wrecks on Fox News. Actually, they air a train wreck every single day that Hannity continues to have his job. But this was like a train wreck where the train was carrying a nuclear bomb, and the bomb exploded in the middle of a train wreck in a highly populated area. It was one of the worst things that I have ever seen in my entire life. Like, it was so terrible that I would rather have all of my fingernails sort of cut out of my fingers one at a time while watching Mike Huckabee give speeches. I mean, it was so bad. Basically said it wasn't a big deal. They had their clothes on. Girls had their clothes on.
Oh, well, that's important.
Yes. Totally not molestation if they have their clothes on, because we all know that is the defining characteristic of an unrape or a non-rape, or a non-molestation. And, that they didn't really seem to understand why the media was so upset, why people were so upset about this. Like, it's like it happened when he was 14. Sure. One of the things that I find so morally reprehensible about the whole ordeal is how, and we discussed this last week, obviously, is how the parents handled the situation. Like, Josh Duggar, the 14-year-old, needed serious psychological counseling. What Josh Duggar, the 14-year-old, got was a couple of parents who basically enabled and excused the behavior and now don't see why anybody has a problem with it.
Yeah, that's right. That's what he got.
I mean, Jesus. It was so bad. Like, you have to go watch it. It was so terrible. I have friends of mine who...
Well, that's a ringing endorsement. That really makes me want to watch it now.
Oh my God. I mean, I know it's going to make you mad. Like, you're going to be like, how in the fuck? No. You know what? I want to go back to this because I always hear about, all these poor people are, sort of breeding kids, don't have good educations, don't have good opportunities in life. Yeah, you just, like, literally, I would take a poor mother with, 6, 7, 8 children over, the Duggars having another child any fucking day of the week or raising any children whatsoever any day of the week. Period.
Yeah.
Period. I mean, that is, it's just so, and I think that's what bothers middle America so much is that they, this sort of Christian, hyper-Christian middle America identified themselves with the Duggars so much. And then the Duggars have like these horrible, awful, terrible skeletons in their closet. And everyone's going, well, don't judge them. That's not fair. Don't judge them. And it's kind of like, yeah, shitty people come in all shapes and colors and sizes and, they have different socioeconomic backgrounds and,
I found it. Do you want to hear?
Yes. I don't, but I do. Tell me.
On Sunday, Jesse Duggar's father-in-law, Michael Seawald, spoke out in a lengthy essay where he had defended admitted child molester Josh in perhaps the absolute worst way, even when compared to some of the other right-wing Christian defenses of the embattled kid toucher. According to Seawald, only consequences keep us from acting as Duggar did when he molested 5 children in their bed. He said that Jim, Bob, and Michelle are to be commended for their roles in covering up their son's crimes, reporting them only to law enforcement. To a law enforcement officer who is serving prison, right? We all know that. As it stands, criminal charges were not brought, but I believe Josh's parents act in a way that godly parents should. So, let's see. According to Seawald, we should not be surprised if this happens.
It's about to get worse. Okay.
Yeah. In the Duggar home because of humankind's sinful nature. After all, only the mercy of God keeps people from molesting children. In fact, according to Seawald, we should thank God if we had been spared the horrible experience of being violated in our beds by our siblings. Many times it is simply lack of our opportunity or fear of consequences that keep us from falling into grievous sin, even though our fallen hearts would love to indulge the flesh. We should not be shocked that this occurred in the Duggars' home. We should be thankful to God if we have been spared such and pray that he would keep us and our children from falling. Though, now that, yes, according to Sewall, the only thing that keeps humanity from engaging in widespread and wanton child rape is the fact that offenders might be punished or the lack of molestable children.
I would punch that guy in his fucking face. Like, I would seriously punch him in his face. Like, I'm not a violent guy, but, you know, if I had a child and that child had been molested and some fucking asshole said that to me, I would break his nose. Like,
yeah.
That is ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. The assertion that the parents did the best thing for their son and not the best thing for their daughters. But it does go to show you just how misogynistic this version of Christianity actually is.
Yeah.
It was the concern for the son, for what was best for the son, not what was best for the daughters who were, and the family friend who were all molested.
They're not, you know? They're not a factor, Jared. They don't get brought up actively, that it's no wonder that they don't think it, like, they're not allowed to complain about it. Why is everyone else complaining? We're supposed to be quiet.
That's right. You know what? And I'm just going to say this, that if you support people like this, you are a piece of shit. You are an immoral piece of shit.
You're pretty much acting like a bad person, and you need to seriously think about what you're doing. And stop
worrying
playing.
About it, though. It's all sanctioned by God. It's cool. I mean,
yeah.
Just ask the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
All right,
I'd like to point out that my teacher, before we move on, my teacher who was molesting little boys when he was teaching me, he died this year from an apparent overdose, purposeful overdose of insulin. They think he committed suicide. And I'd like to point out that he did not commit suicide when he realized that he was about to violate a little boy. He didn't commit suicide after he repeatedly violated the little boy. He didn't commit suicide after repeatedly violating the little boy and then having to live with it for many years. The time when he chose to take his life was when he got caught.
That's right. It was having to face the consequences that led to to that decision. Which that is an aspect of suicide, by the way. Not trying to marginalize it, but there are people who cannot deal with the consequences of their behavior, you know, who do end up going that route. I mean, it's not a large percentage anywhere near it. It's a very small percentage of people who do it. But, it does happen. You know, it does happen. By the way, old white, hate to put it this way, but it's a fact. Old white men who get, you know, sort of, you know, sent up, you know, convicted of, you know, molesting children, have a real fucking hard time in prison.
Yeah, they do. And that's why my friend said he couldn't believe it when I told him that people were defending the Duggars on the internet, because he said the internet is like prison. This is where people go to punish child molesters. You know, that's usually where we stand in solidarity together. We all hate child molesters. And yet, here we are.
Unless Christianity is concerned.
Right.
Or Islam, by the way.
Yes, that too.
You know, it's just so. It's like, and Judaism obviously has its own problems, but it's like they're the only ones that escaped like this, and they have their own radicals who are fucking crazy and, you know, who don't do anything on the Sabbath. And, you know, I'm sure you saw Bill Maher's, you know, sort of documentary. But
who refuse to sit next to women on public flights.
Yeah, they do some crazy shit like that, and it's ridiculous and almost comical because it's so crazy. But at least the vast majority, they're not, like, there's not an entire sect of Judaism that is known for, like, raping kids. You know, there's an entire sect of Christianity who's, you know, that is known for moving priests around, pedophile priests around, you know, to avoid prosecution. And they get a pass on it.
And provide them new victims. That's right.
Like, they get a pass on it. Like, you know, I mean, honestly, the Sicilian Mafia could have, you know, taken some cues from the Catholic Church and, you know, how to avoid prosecution for criminal activity for their members. I mean, you know, and Jesse Ventura has said a lot of crazy shit, but one of the points that he always brought up that I agreed with was when you do that, when you are moving people from one place to another to avoid prosecution for crimes, that is an organized criminal activity.
It is. So, I never thought about to put it that way, but he's absolutely right. It is. That's organized crime.
So I mean, so why is that okay for the Catholic Church to do it, but when obviously, you know, your mafiosos, if you will, the Cosa Nostra, when they attempted to do it, you know, they're just fleeing extradition. You know, I mean, how often is it that these priests get moved to these jurisdictions where, you know, they can escape prosecution and then, you know, it's like nobody cares. Like, oh, yeah, well, you know, that's just a Catholic Church thing. I guess we need to, you know, err on their side. I mean.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, it's harrowing.
All right.
By the way, if anybody listening has not watched Mea Maxima Culpa, have you seen that, Jared?
I was about to say, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. It's very hard to watch, but it's important to watch.
I will.
Anyway,
I will watch.
Let us move on.
So, okay. So let's get down to this free will thing. Okay. So, do you and I both agree that in Christian doctrine, all human beings have basically two choices, right? Like, either people go to heaven or they go to hell.
Generally. I mean, you have your annihilationists and stuff, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the general consensus there, the vast majority of Christians say that you get either one or the other, right?
Right. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and as I like to tell people, for example, with regard to the ACA, like either I get health insurance or I have to pay a tax. I don't like that. What I always say is well, just because you don't like the choices doesn't mean there aren't choices. So, in this case, there are choices. And the choice apparently is, you know, you get two potential outcomes, which is heaven or hell. I find it really weird, though, that there's this idea in Christianity, and I've heard this from apologists quite often, about this, like, zero-sum choice where, you know, like, yeah, it's entirely up to you. It's all up to you about whether or not you go to heaven or go to hell. And I'm like, how is it all up to me? I don't want to go to hell, okay? Like, and I don't want to go to heaven either. So now the ball is in sort of God's court. And when if he's real and he tells me that I'm going to one or the other, that's him making the decision. Like, that's not me.
That's right.
You know, mm-hmm. And how in the world could I compete with his decision-making capabilities given the fact that he is sort of an all-knowing, all-powerful being? Seems very weird.
Well, maybe you could say that there are choices, you just don't like them.
There are choices, and I don't like them. But there's no way that there's zero sum, because, assuming that Christianity is real, of course, because the zero sum choice assumes that there are multiple pathways to multiple outcomes, right? But there aren't in Christianity, depending on which sect you choose. I mean, it's not like I can, you know, at the pearly gates, I can be like, you know, God, heaven sounds okay, but I'd really prefer Valhalla. You know, I mean, or maybe I just don't want to exist anymore. Like, I've done this eternity thing for a while. I just don't, feel it. I'm not digging it. You know, I just kind of want to fade off and, you know, just be done with this whole eternity thing. But see, like, I don't have those options. No matter what, I get heaven or hell, according to Christianity. So it's not really free will. It's two choices that, one of which is either going to be made for you, because obviously I don't believe in God. So, you know, if it just so happens that when I die and I go to heaven and, you know, at the gates or, you know, whatever judgment scribe there is on top of these clouds. It's a very weird concept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're like, well, you're going to hell. I'm like, well, fuck, what? Don't I get an argument? Like, don't I get to say something? I mean, and if they're like, nope, bye, and I just get dropped down into hell, then that just is what it is. You know, I don't have a choice at that point. Now, what people will say is, well, you did have a choice while you were alive, and, you know, you chose to be a, you know, hedonistic, you know, douchebag. You know, you basically didn't want to be a Christian, so therefore you go
to
hell.
That's right.
Okay.
You were told the good news, which is not good news. That is such a weird... It's sort of like Good Friday. That was the worst Friday for ever. Being nailed to a cross and having somebody stab you in the side, terrible Friday. It's the same with the news. It's not good news. It's shitty news.
Well, you know,
but anyway...
It's interesting to me how most Christians don't seem to understand theologically people who weren't Jews did not go to hell. And according to Judaism, they still don't believe that people who are non-Jews go to hell.
Right, right.
So basically prior to Christianity, there was like a real basic concept of hell in Judaism, but it was sort of one of those, look, this is just a bad weekend. You can, you know, sort of overcome it, not in a very difficult way, and then you can get up to heaven because you're one of the chosen people. You were just acting like enough of an ass to where now you're down here with us.
Well, and there's a lot of emphasis on what you do when you're here, though, way more than what's going to happen to you later if you're a Jew.
Right. I agree with that.
I mean, it's really,
and you're right. So, if we understand that, you know, there are only the two, you know, sort of options, the concept like this zero-sum free will can't exist in Christianity. So let me kind of walk you through this, the way this logical pathway works, because a lot of people, at least a lot of people that I've met, they always resort to this argument about, well, you have a choice. Okay. So I had no choice in being born, and because I can only go to heaven or hell, I'm caught between choosing something that is eternally painful or a place I don't have any desire to go to. If people right. like Josh Duggar and Mike Huckabee and you know, Jerry Falwell end up in heaven and I have to associate with them, like I literally disagree with just about every single thing that those people believe in, why in the world would I want to go there? You know, so basically the question is do I want to burn alive for all eternity or bask in the you know, glory of a deity that I find morally reprehensible and a bunch of his followers that I find morally reprehensible? And even though the latter seems like the better choice because I'm not going to be suffering, I don't think of it any differently than being born in North Korea. I mean, either I can
yes,
be...
Yes, as Christopher Hitchens says, it is celestial
yes.
North Korea. It's described
right.
as eternally praising. Like, your free will is definitely stripped of you once you get there, even if you claim to have it before you get there, because you have no choice but to be in a place where you are constantly going, you're the best. You're the best. You're the best, which is a little bit like water torture, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so either I could be subservient to the state, assuming this analogy of North Korea, by remaining
mm-hmm.
silent, by being silent, being obedient, or I can be thrown into like a hard labor camp and get tortured. I mean, obviously the majority of people, if given that choice, would be like, yeah, I'll shut my mouth just so I can, you know, not feel pain. But the people who care about like free thought and inquiry, doubt and skepticism and expression, you know, might like weigh the consequences and decide that, you know, they'd rather be who they are than become sycophants. I mean,
yeah.
You know, and you're right, like, the entire concept of heaven at least the way that it was passed down through Catholicism and into Protestantism, what came from Aquinas, right? Like it all came from Thomas Aquinas. So, you know, this idea that you would like be looking down on people from heaven into hell and seeing them suffering and, you know, you would get some sort of pleasure from this. Like that is some sick shit. I mean, that
is
not moral. Like that's not a moral concept. Like that's not a moral idea.
No.
Now Christianity tries to teach that this is where you get to go to see your loved ones, which is truly, truly ironic because paganism, certain sects of paganism used to teach the same thing thousands of years ago. You know, so it makes it very strange that this sounds so good to Christianity, yet it's not an original Christian thought, anywhere near an original Christian thought.
Yeah, like many others borrowed. Mm-hmm.
So, and I can't imagine that. Like, I couldn't imagine looking down on, you know, human beings who are being tortured and, you know, being like, yeah, you know, hey, God, they had a choice.
Right, and the thing is,
you know.
Yeah, Matt Dillahunty brings up a good point because his mother, who he loves very much, is a very religious person. And he says, there is no situation in which my mother can go to the heaven that everybody's pretending exists because either she loves him, she loves her son. So one of two things is happening. She's either in heaven and he's in hell and she knows it and she doesn't care, in which case it's not his mother in any way that's recognizable to him or her.
Right.
Or she's there and she's watching her son suffer for eternity in hell and she suffers because he's in so much pain, in which case that's not heaven. It's just horrible.
That's right. And a lot of that argument... One of the things that I hear the most from people is, you know, that why they believe it comes down to kids, right? Like it really does.
Uh-huh.
I mean, imagine an indoctrination so strong that you believe that if your children are not taught this in the exact way you were taught it, and do not follow these exact rules that you were told from birth you have to follow in order to get into heaven, they will end up going to hell. Now you have a biological bond with your children. Now, and you also have, you know, along with that comes a very strong emotional bond. And now you have an emotional bond that is faced with a level of indoctrination that basically tells you that, you know, this emotional bond is going to not necessarily be broken, but that, you know, your children, these things that you, these human beings that you love more than anything, are going to be subjected to this terrible, awful torture. Honestly, if you really believe that and I hate to say this, but it's true. If you really believe that and you don't do everything to save them, it's almost like you're a terrible parent.
Yes, and I'm sure that's how it feels. Yeah. I mean, why would you, you know, most people would do a lot to spare their kids any suffering, let alone eternal suffering. If you really believe that, which a lot of people do, it's not just your responsibility. It is an urgent responsibility.
Right. Like, holy shit, because you never know when that day is going to come, you know, that especially
right.
If you believe in, like, the judgment or, you know, you believe that your kids could die at any minute. Like, holy fuck, you're right. There's an urgency there to try to ensure that your children do not end up in hell, no matter what happens in their lives. So long as they do not end up going to hell and you all get to be together at the end of, you know, whether judgment, you know, you believe judgment is going to come or at the end of your life, we know judgment's not going to come, at least not in terms of like, you know, a 2,000-year-old Jew coming out of the sky.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, yeah, that creates a shit ton of stress, dude. I mean, it really does. And, you know, people are indoctrinated with this belief throughout their entire lives. And, you know, then when they have their own children, they do the same to their kids because of the indoctrination that they received, because of the indoctrination that their parents received. I mean, right. You know, it all sort of goes back to, you know, to how strongly do you believe this? How strongly did your parents believe it? How strongly do you believe it? And how strongly are you going to make your kids believe it?
And where does that leave the kids' free will in this conversation? That's the next question.
That's right. That's right, because you're not offering different perspectives to the child. You're not saying, here's the evidence, you know, or here are the arguments, here are the different religions. What you're saying is that from birth, this religion is true. This is what we believe. This is what we have to believe so that all of us can end up together, you know, when we die. You know, and so you
right.
don't end up going to, you know, going and suffering in hell. I mean.
And these are the same people who tell you if you touch that stove, it will burn your fingers off. And you know, you either believe them or you know it's true, you know. And they're the ones that you rely on for survival and to tell you the truth about the world so that you can survive in it. So why would you not believe them? I'm amazed that anybody can shake that off.
It's pretty hard.
Before they're,
I mean,
you know, a well into adulthood, that is.
Hey, man, on, you know, on kind of a personal level, like my mother, I mean, I've watched her cry, like, talking about this shit. You know, talking like she genuinely believes, my mom genuinely believes that my brother and I are going to hell.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she really does. Like, now she'll try to, like, you know, use sort of old school Catholic, you know, apologetics about purgatory, about how,
yeah.
like, well, you know, yeah, you'll go into purgatory, then you'll see God, and, you know, then that'll be fine, and I'll be like, well, shit, that'll be all the, you know, obviously all the evidence I need. Like, if I go into purgatory and I see God, I'm like, well, oh, there you are. Like, well, fuck, I was wrong, my bad.
Yeah.
You know, like, not really a big deal at that point. It's just like, okay, I've been wrong about a lot of things in my life. So as everyone else, I'm only how you created me. And, yeah, take some responsibility, dude. But, you know, but then you start, when I start actually talking to my mom about what she really, truly believes, and, you know, and I prodded her before, basically been like, well, if that's the case, then why are you so worried? And she gets that look on her face where I see that that's just what she's telling herself to feel better about her religion, because that's not what she really thinks.
Yeah.
I mean, what she really thinks, Jesus Christ, what's going on in the background over there, dude?
What are you hearing?
I don't know. I'm hearing, like, a lot of feedback.
Weird.
Okay, that's a lot better. Whatever you just did is a lot better. Darby?
I'm just having some serious problems. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Are you driving?
Okay. No, I'm in the car, though. I'm parked.
I was going to say, you and the fucking driving, when is your computer going to get fixed? This is so unprofessional.
No, this actually isn't. This isn't my computer. My computer has been fixed. This is the people with the chainsaws.
They're still at it with the fucking chainsaws?
Yes. They are still at it with the fucking chainsaws. Day after day after day, they come in the evenings and cannot get, like, they never mind. This is, it has to do with chainsaws. So that's why
okay,
I'm in the car.
Let me ask you this question. Are your neighbors Christians?
No, they're not.
Fuck. Man, this could have been so much easier.
I'm
like,
surrounded
you could have
by
gone
atheists.
Next door.
I live in Seattle.
I know you live in Seattle. Fucking middle class Seattle. Which you could have gone next door and been like, look, I had a dream and God actually told me that he wanted you to stop cutting his trees down, you know, and that might have sufficed, you know. Hey, look, down here in the South, like, that shit actually might play out well.
Wow.
I'm just saying, this is where I live. Anyway, okay, we got off topic. I'm sorry.
All right.
So anyway, just going back to it, like, I could really see, like, the pain on my mom's face when she's like, Jared, are you really saying you don't believe in God? And I'm like, no, like, it's not a big deal. Like, I just don't, you know, I don't believe in unicorns either. And I feel the exact same way about that, you know? And she's like, but you read the Bible. I'm like, well, you know, fuck, I read Harry Potter too. It doesn't mean that I think that, you know, I'm going to have a, you know, Quidditch ball shoved up my ass.
A snitch. Get it
I know
right,
what
Jared.
It's. I know what it's fucking called. I was.
Wait, it's called.
Anyway, so I actually didn't want to say that I would have a snitch shoved up my ass because not everybody actually reads Harry Potter. So if I was like, I have a snitch shoved up my ass, like nobody's gonna know what I'm talking about. You know, people know what Quidditch is. May not know what the fucking ball is called, Darp. Okay.
Anyway. So.
Anyway, all right. Okay. So I want to move on to my third point.
Okay.
So the idea of free will in Christianity doesn't actually promote freedom of choice or the mind. In my opinion, I think it promotes sort of like an enslavement of thoughts, right? So, I mean, so Christianity doesn't really promote you thinking for yourself outside the context of like the Gospels and the Bible and how to interpret that.
Right.
It doesn't tell you how to
and
arrive
choice,
at your own conclusions. I mean, it's
right. And the choice you're given is a non-choice. Love me back or I'll set you on fire.
Right. And the being making this sort of determination, you know, or calling down this demand, this command, is like an all-knowing, all-powerful being. Like, how in the fucking world do you compete with that?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, how in the world
yeah.
do you compete with that? You know, it's... I mean, Christianity works by guilting and... by guilting and shaming people for questioning the doctrine. I mean, that's exactly what it is. Looks like they rely on these sort of emotional platitudes about, you know, how much was given up so you as like this terrible human could go to heaven and, you know, and like, you know, they like the fear by telling you what will happen if you don't do exactly what this all-knowing, all-powerful God wants you to do, even though he apparently already knows that you're incapable of doing this.
Right.
You know, and it's really weird because there are so many different versions of Christianity, all of whom say they know exactly what God wants, and yet God wasn't apparently a lot more clear in the Bible, and apparently didn't know this would confuse a lot of people. I mean, it's just so strange. Like, it's so weird. Like, how in the world can I have free will when there are so many contradictory versions of the... you know, of the sets of documents that I'm supposed to rely on to make a decision.
Yeah.
Like, and why is every single person, by the way, I always say this, and it's absolutely true. I've never met two people, even people from the exact same church, who have the same concept or idea or understanding of God. And what I'm told is, well, you know, God is so big that everybody, you know, that people just get these little pieces of him. And I'm like, well, holy fuck. Maybe he should stop giving pieces of himself away because it's obviously not worked out very well for humanity. Really?
Yeah.
But it doesn't. I mean, you know, this idea of Christian free will, it's not, you know, and we've already pretty much covered this, that it doesn't actually promote, like, free will. Like, it's like, you know, be subservient, follow what we say, and you'll get into heaven. And if you don't, you end up going to hell. That's not free will. Free will is where I have multiple options on the table, and I get to use my own mind to come to a determination or to come to a conclusion about, you know, the option I find most appealing. What I'm being told is that if I don't choose the right option, you know, based on really, really shitty arguments, I'm going to end up being tortured for all eternity.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to figure out how that's free will. I just, you know, I don't get it.
I don't get it. I've never gotten it.
So,
I mean, when you have a non-choice, you can't really say, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there is no real, you know, there is no real metric for how we determine whether or not someone goes to heaven or hell. Like, you know, we know that there's one basic metric in terms of Christianity, you know, that exists. But I mean, you know, I don't know. Like, what would you think the other, what would be the best arguments to get to go to heaven?
Well, I mean, it kind of depends on who you talk to, too, because you have two sides. On this issue, you have the faith people and the works people, and then there's the combo faith works people, and then there's the Calvinists who are, you know, predestination people, and you kind of don't really even know where you stand, because you can get one church telling you that the only way to get to, and there are a lot of these just in this country, so we hear it a lot. We end up with this is sort of what we accept as the truth culturally, because we hear it so much, and the Protestants that believe it are so loud. You know, the only way to get to heaven, no matter who you are, what you do, is to, you know, accept Jesus Christ as your into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. There's always some version of that script. But even that is unclear. And, of course, other sects of Christianity would argue with you, the Catholics, there are a lot of people that the Catholics and the Calvinists come up first, but there are lots and then what the Mormons would tell you is a whole different scenario with, like, several options. I guess they have a better shot at saying you have free will because you have several options where to go, although I'm not really sure you can pick. You kind of have to, you know, do your stuff and then, you know, hope that you like the slot that you get put into after you die. But, you know, even saying the way you get into heaven is, even if you're just going with the mainline Protestant accepting Jesus into your heart, that actually doesn't make any sense. What does that mean? Does that mean you say it out loud? Or does that mean that you think it? Or
does that mean
you tell people?
Okay,
does that
so
mean,
you have
no,
to
I mean,
say
it
out loud.
It depends on who you talk to. But what I'm saying here is it depends on who you talk to, because there are quite a few sort of evangelical sects that will say, you know, that saying it in front of people and, like, you know, bearing testimony is a thing in many churches, including the Mormons. But like, there's really nothing in the Bible that says what you have to do. So if you're a particular person, I mean, what do you do? What do you have to do? If you're really worried about making sure all your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted, it's pretty scary because there's really no recipe or instructions that are very specific. So,
you know, since you're such a heretic, let me explain how we do it down here in the South. All right. I'm going to let you know how we do Christianity down here in, you know, in God's country. Okay.
All righty.
Basically, what you got to do is, you got to be baptized. You got to accept Jesus into your heart. You got to let your family know that you've accepted Jesus into your heart, and then you got to go share it all over Facebook.
Right.
No, I'm serious.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that those are the requirements. Like, yeah, guys, hey, look at me. You know, done with being a shitty human being. I they dunked me in water. I said some words, and you know, now all of a sudden I'm a good person. That's pretty much the way it seems to work. You know, it's so weird. Like, it's so foreign to me. I see this shit and I'm like, look, I think you were pretty cool before you had to do all this stuff. Like, what is the point? You know, and a lot of it comes down to social acceptance. Like, down here, if you don't believe in God, you are definitely on the outskirts. Definitely on the outskirts. Now, most people don't really bother me. You know what's funny? Actually, when people find out that I defend the idea that Jesus existed as a person, they tend to be more cool. They're like, okay, you don't believe what I do, but we agree on that.
Yeah.
So, you know. And usually I can actually get better arguments than they can. I mean, you know, because I don't believe in this shit, and I'm not talking about anything supernatural. We're only talking about the historicity of it. But, hey, I want to get into this last point real quick.
Go for it.
Okay, so I don't think that free will exists in the way most people believe like it exists. And I know this. I know, like, I run in circles where I argue with libertarians and, like, you know, these weird anarcho-capitalists who are usually misogynists and racists. who believe that, like, if you just bootstrap, you know, you can get success.
Yeah, heard that
okay.
a lot. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so reality, we have to understand, reality is confined by rules. You know, and those rules are basically like the laws of the universe, right? So that means that the actors of this reality, which is, you know, anything that possesses any kind of thought or has an effect on reality, are required to play by those laws of the universe, right? So, you know, I can't suspend the rules of reality in order to commit an act. So because all of my choices are confined inside of this sort of box, right? When other actors start coming into that box or, you know, introduced to that box, all of their choices, movements, behaviors, actions begin affecting mine, right? So, like, I always give the example. So a man runs a red light and then kills my wife all because he was in a hurry to get to work because he didn't want to lose his job. Like, my life will be forever changed, and, you know, the decisions that I make because of that will, like, ripple on down the line, like, to
right,
my children, friends, coworkers, and those ripples will cause additional ripples, and, like, I mean, on and on it goes, as long as, you know, there are people to experience ripples, right? So while we do have, like, some choices within our box, like, most of those choices are reactive to other stimuli caused by other actors, just like they're reacting to stimuli caused by other actors. And the remaining choices are, you know, sort of, you know, just reactions to our environment, which is just, you know, laws of reality, like, you know, that we're governed by. I mean, like, so some rules are, you brought up a good point when we were talking about this pre-show that, you know, you were like, yeah, you know, well, I can't just be like, I have free will. And then you just blindly close your eyes and start walking out into traffic. You get hit by a car and be like, well, shit, it was just free will. You know, I mean, obviously some rules are subjective to our personal realities. So, like, if you walk out into a bus lane and you expect to not get hit by a bus, you're an idiot. But there are, like, other objective rules of reality, like I can't jump off a building and expect to fly. You know, so, I mean, so I think we have some choices, but I think that the majority of our choices are reactions, not sort of, you know, proactive decisions. You know, and that we are definitely sort of compartmentalized into this, you know, into this box of our, you know, of our kind of reality. You know, so it makes the idea that we just have, like, this, oh, it's all a zero-sum choice. I mean, the primary deciding factor of as to whether or not you become a Christian is whether or not your parents were Christians and what kind of society you grew up
yeah,
in.
Yeah, that's the thing that I've asked a lot of people about. Geography seems to be a major factor. Do you think geography has any effect on truth, on objective truth? Because if it does, that's a... I mean, all of them are going to say no. How could it? So then how do you know you're right? Because of where you were born?
That was me attempting to simulate a mic drop, by the way, because that's,
oh.
I mean, that is,
well, thanks.
Well, I mean, that is, like, that's kind of the point. Like, obviously, you know, where people are born and what the people who live there believe has no bearing on whether or not it's true. So, you know, why even give a shit about it? I mean, like, who cares? Like, so if the majority of Americans are Christians, so fucking what? The majority of the rest of the world aren't Christians. So what makes you so special? Okay. Are you still there? Because you're not saying anything. Darby?
I'm here. I'm trying not to No, I'm still here. I'm trying not to interrupt you.
Okay.
So I had to
right, well,
muted.
We got to get to this weekend demo, and then we got to close.
Okay.
Okay. So... This week in Dumb, conservatives have to stop using the military every single time someone is celebrated for being a hero for a reason they hate. So Caitlyn Jenner appeared on the cover of Vanity Fair this week, and conservatives have been up in arms that people would dare call her a hero or courageous or someone to be respected. Multiple people have been sharing images of wounded military members with captions that read, "So Bruce Jenner is a hero for putting women's clothes on, but this is what real bravery looks like." No, you insensitive asshole. That's what war looks like. And maybe if conservatives didn't spend so much time idolizing or pretending to idolize people who got their faces blown off fighting a war we never should have been in the first place, maybe we wouldn't be so quick to vote for people who send them to get their faces blown off in a war we shouldn't have been in the first place. Look, I'm not saying that our armed service members aren't heroic or brave or doing something that very few of us want to do, like being a part of Rick Perry's presidential campaign. But Jesus, there's nothing that says I have to pick one or the other. Maybe I can think the guy who serves his country is heroic and that a public figure who chooses a shared transition with the world in order to give others going through the same thing some hope is also heroic. When in the hell did military heroism become the only heroism? Oh, yeah. When conservatives stopped winning arguments about how for the people they are. They are for the people, so long as the people aren't black, gay, Hispanic, trans, non-Christian, or women. 22 veterans commit suicide every single day. It was the conservative David Barton, Republican, you know, the moron who claims to be a historian and says that the Founding Fathers got the Bill of Rights from the Ten Commandments, a person the conservative Republican presidential candidate Mike Huckabee once called someone every American should listen to and every child should be taught about. He's the guy who said that soldiers suffering from depression or PTSD, what they really need is just more Christianity. It was the conservative Republican Tom Coburn who blocked a $22 million veterans funding bill because we just didn't have the money. It was Senate conservatives who blocked a bill that would have opened up more over 20 VA hospitals and allocated more money to mental health for veterans. I'm curious about something. If conservatives love our service members so much, why in the world do they spend so much of their time doing everything they can to ignore them, except when they want to wage war against brown people in some foreign nation? For all their bullshit talk on being fiscally responsible, what these idiots don't seem to understand is that when you send people to war only because you've exhausted all other options, rather than doing so anytime they shit their pants, which seems to be anytime someone says a brown guy with a gun is coming across your border, you'll probably have the money to take care of them when they get back. Caitlyn Jenner could teach conservatives a thing or two about what it means to be a real hero, because if she had taken this play out of their playbook, she would have pointed to Barry Winchell, an infantry soldier in the 101st Airborne who was murdered by a fellow soldier because Barry had the audacity to date a trans woman. And that actually happened in America in the late 90s.
Yeah, I remember.
And I'm amazed that nobody shared Barry Winchell's photograph. And I'm amazed that conservatives don't actually seem to give a flying fuck about the military until it suits their needs. You have been listening to Logicast. We are on every Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Jared Smith. This is my wonderful host, Darby Macy. Darby, as always, it was a pleasure.
It was.
This song that we stole from the internet, play us out. Good night.
Good night.
Night, Darp.
What do you know? What do you know? What do you know?
The birds and the bees are wise to the light.
What do you know?
So they took to the trees and the sky.
What do you know?
On top of the chain and safe from the from an open beginning.
What do you know?
Cause they're hip to the moon and hip to the light.
What do you know?
And I hip with the ass cause you ain't got a penny.
What do you know?
Don't you know I'm the